Namo Myoho Renge Kyo, Namo Myoho Renge Kyo, Namo Myoho Renge Kyo. Then the Buddha spoke further to Bodhisattva Mahasattva Bhasyaraja, the Medicine King, saying, there are immeasurable thousands of myriads of codices of sutras I have taught in the past, which I teach now, and which I will teach in the future. Among them, however, this Lotus Sutra, this Myoho Renge Kyo, is the most difficult to accept and to understand. He's already said it's the ultimate of his teachings, right? Why would he say that it's difficult to accept and to understand? What do you think? Let me propose an answer. In our samsaric reality, we externalize everything. That's another way of saying that in order to identify ourselves, we have to attach ourselves to mirrors. All the different objects in our lives become reflectors to our own perception of self. That self is the delusion. That self is the disease that we keep trying to maintain, and there's nothing to maintain it. That's the meaning of emptiness, right? We're chasing air. So when we have a teaching that very directly tells us, you already have this. All you need to do is do it. You are capable of enlightenment. So do it. No, in fact, not only is it all on you, but absolutely no one, no matter how much they wish to, can do it for you. There is nothing outside of you. Remember Nichiren? Never seek this Gohanzen outside your flesh and blood. And that doesn't mean relatives. That means your body. Your body of flesh and blood. Never seek the Gohanzen outside of your self, quote unquote. And when we're given that kind of information, it's a little scary. Or our mind just goes, yeah, right. But doesn't, when we start to really consider, and the more we practice, the more we confront this, some people quit. They stop practicing because it's just too much responsibility. I got to be able to put some of this off on, I don't know, the weather, earth, that guy over there. We get so obsessed with, whose fault is it? Which is complete and utter nonsense. Because that's the very essence of the teaching, is that you're no fault. Any faults you perceive are your perception based on emptiness, stuff that isn't real. This moment is real, except it's been gone for several moments. We have to get in the flow, the momentum of our life. And no one can do that for us. Right? It'd be like, I've seen dogs, animals do this in the back of pickup trucks. It's so frightening. They just don't perceive the momentum, the speed. Because if you're standing on a platform and you're sailing along at 70 miles an hour and you feel the wind, well, you feel the wind standing in your backyard. So it's just wind, right? So the ground looks interesting. I'm going to go that way. And you walk off the platform. You're going to have a very rude awakening once you connect with the ground that is not moving at the same rate you were 70 miles an hour. That kind of shift, do you really have to experience it to know that? Can you look off the side of the pickup truck or on the flatbed truck and look at the road and look at the speed at which you're moving past things and relate yourself, quote unquote, to it? Do you have enough consciousness? Do you have enough observational skills? Does your sentient mind perceive the danger? It's the same difference between samsara and Buddha-ness. In Buddha-ness, you're moving with everything. No problem. But in samsara, we keep walking off the platform, expecting to be okay. Duh. It's kind of nuts, huh? Yeah, we wrestle with the responsibility for our own enlightenment. It just seems like, And yet, we do it every time we chant. If it's not happening with you, if you have an altar and a proper mandala, and you're chanting, and you don't fuse with your Gohanzon mind, if the mandala doesn't play some visual tricks on you every now and again, then you're not committed. If you're really single-mindedly wanting to instantiate Buddha, meet Buddha, wake Buddha-ness, Namo Myoho Renge Kyo, get serious, expect it to work. Oh yeah, it won't take long. And then you'll never question it again. You might, but you'll always remember. Then it's no longer difficult to accept. See, once you accept, then you can embrace. Right? Some people think embracing is another form of prayer. Like, now that I'm holding you, you're going to give me what I want. Wrong kind of embrace. Stop being a victim. Stop being something that needs to be rescued. You rescue yourself. Remember what I said about the person falls overboard on a boat? Somebody sees you and they throw you one of those flotation, the life rings, whatever you call them, lifesavers. It's a candy. Right? They throw it out and you grab it. Did they save you? Did they save your life? They did everything they could to help you save your life. Because you reached out and you grabbed it. You just did what was necessary to keep on going, to go on living. For what purpose? Now, if you come out of the water and you say, oh, thank you so much. You saved my life. You don't understand what just happened. You got, of course, thank them. Thanks so much. You helped me to save my life. You performed a rescuing, very compassionate act. You didn't risk anything, though. You just saw me and you responded. Great Bodhisattva. Thank you for facilitating my wherewithal to continue living. You did that. And this is what people struggle with this teaching. That very same dilemma, as simple as that sounds. Medicine King. This sutra is the treasure house of the hidden essence of all the Buddhas. In other words, there is no this kind of Buddha, that kind. There is enlightenment, period. And all of us are innately endowed with it, no doubt, because we all come from the same stuff. So if Buddhahood exists, you can be certain it exists within you. How could it not? The problem is, you got to make it happen. How frustrating. It's already there. Wake up. So you're really not waking up Buddhahood, are you? You're moving your sleepy samsaric mind out of the way. Open those blackout curtains. Let the sun in. S-U-N. It must not be distributed or heedlessly bestowed upon the people, because it can't be. The sutra can be offered, and which is what he's saying. This teaching must be offered in order to facilitate everyone taking this task on. But he's also saying, you can't be heedless about it. Don't just run around, you know, Tower Records parking lots and hand pamphlets to people with a big old smile like you look like a nutbag who's on mushrooms. Have some respect. Have some dignity. Isn't that what we've read throughout this book so far? That's part of accepting and understanding that achieving Buddhahood isn't like eating a bowl of cereal. This is major, major stuff. This is literally life-changing. So have a little dignity. Since times long past, all the Buddha Bhagavats have protected it and have never openly taught it. Moreover, people show great hostility to this sutra, even in the presence of the Tathagata. We've read so many stories about that. Yeah? Not only those who practice this Buddhism, but those who don't even know about it look upon us as though we're some kind of a threat. Isn't that amazing? How much more so after the parinirvana of the Tathagata? How much worse will that be prevalent? How much more so after I'm extinct? I'm not even here to be the exemplar, right? It falls on all of us. Are you up to the task? Of course you are. You just have to know it. That takes a little work. Chant every day. Oh, Medicine King, you should know that after the parinirvana of the Tathagata, those who copy, preserve, recite, and revere this sutra and expound it for the sake of others will be clothed with the Tathagata's garments and treasured by the present Buddhas of the other directions. Such people will have the power. They're using one of the bad words here. The power of great resolve. The power of great confidence. Not this word, and I'm not even going to say it. The power of aspiration. That's a little different than desire, isn't it? A lot of people say, well, what's the difference if you desire enlightenment? It's a desire. The difference is it's not a samsaric desire. So they don't even use that word here. They use the word aspiration. Right? Because that's a mental construct. To aspire to our innate Buddhahood. That's not a wish. That's not a fanciful fantasy thing. It's an aspiration for self-realization. Just like any task we perform that we want to do better. Reaching our aspiring for our Buddhahood is wanting to live this life more fully to our greatest potential, right? All those things aren't samsaric. They're experiential. The Dharma. as well as the power of the roots of good merit. The very actions and thoughts and deeds that raise our dignity. You should know that these people have dwelled together with the Tathagata, and his hand has caressed their heads. Right? There's a lot of that in many, many practices in the world. The hands on the head. It's a parental kind of loving kindness, acceptance, embracing, a physical connection of energy. Yeah. O Medicine King, wherever this sutra is taught, read, recited, copied, or wherever it is to be found, one should build a seven-jeweled stupa of great height and width and richly ornamented. There is no need to put a relic inside. Why is this? Because the Tathagata is already in it. Right, this practice of keeping relics, that's a physical body thing. It doesn't resonate with Buddhism. Right? Buddhahood is in the mental attributes, the psychological, the mental experience of. This stupa should be honored, respected, praised, and rendered homage with offerings of all kinds, flowers, perfume, necklaces, canopies, flags, banners, music, and songs. What do you think this altar is? This butsudan is our enactment of a stupa. And in that stupa, we put the treasure tower, the mandala. See, all of this connects very literally. There's no magic here. If there is anyone able to see this stupa and to pay it homage and honor it, I know that such a one is nearing highest complete enlightenment. So yeah, don't hide it. It itself is a tool of propagation, yeah? It's a statement of conviction. O Medicine King, among the many people, either among the laity or the ordained, who practice the Bodhisattva path, if they are unable to see, hear, recite, copy, and preserve, and pay homage to this Lotus Sutra, know that they are people who are not yet properly practicing the Bodhisattva path. If anyone is able to hear this sutra, such as such a one is skillfully practicing the Bodhisattva path. Among sentient beings seeking the Buddha path, if there are those who see or hear this Lotus Sutra and after hearing it are drawn to it and preserve it, know that they are those who are approaching highest complete enlightenment. Namo Myoho Renge. O Medicine King, suppose there were a thirsty man seeking water. He drills in search of water on a high plain, yet he sees only dry earth and thus realizes that water is still far away. But he does not cease his efforts until he turns up moist earth and gradually reaches mud. Now he is sure that water must be near. The bodhisattvas are exactly like this. If they have not yet heard, understood, or been able to practice this Myoho Renge Kyo, they should be known as people who are still far away from highest complete enlightenment. If they hear, understand, contemplate, and are able to practice it, they realize that they are certainly nearing highest complete enlightenment. Why is this? Because the highest complete enlightenment of all the bodhisattvas is within this sutra. This sutra opens the gate of skillful means and reveals the marks of truth. The treasure house of this Lotus Sutra is deep and remote. No one is able to discover its depths. That is why the Buddha now reveals it, inspiring and perfecting the Bodhisattvas. O Medicine King, if there are Bodhisattvas who hear this Lotus Sutra and are confused and frightened, know that they are Bodhisattvas in whom the thought of enlightenment has only recently awakened. If they are Shravakas who hear this sutra and are confused and frightened, know that they are people who have excessive pride. Right? And that's why those arhats in the first chapters of the book got up and left this assembly. They were arrogant. They had too much pride. They thought they had achieved what they had not. If they'd have stuck around, they would have heard what the other arhats who didn't leave learned. Oh, they had to be humble to realize that. Too much pride, you don't let yourself hear. You don't see what is obvious because everything is colored with your pride. And what is pride? A great investment in your ego, yourself, your samsaric self, right? That's a great obstacle. I'm sure you can hear that music in the background. That's an alarm I have set for me taking my medication. So give me just a moment. I'll be right back. O Medicine King, if there are any sons and daughters of a virtuous family who, after the parinirvana of the Tathagata, want to teach this Myoho Renge Kyo to the fourfold assembly, how should they teach it? Well, these sons and daughters of a virtuous family, after entering the abode of the Tathagata, wearing the Tathagata's garments and sitting on his seat, should then extensively teach this sutra to the fourfold assembly. The Tathagata's chamber is nothing but the great compassion toward all sentient beings. The Tathagata garments are the thoughts of gentleness and perseverance, and the Tathagata's seat is the very emptiness of all existing things. He's explaining his skillful means, his metaphors and similes. He's telling you what he means when he says the seat of the Tathagata is your attitude. From that seat, the Tathagata's enlightenment, clarity, experience moment to moment of the engine of life can be experienced and shared. The seat of pride doesn't allow the Tathagata to exist. It gets in the way. Do you see? So let me say that again. Wearing the Tathagata's garments, sitting on his seat, should then extensively teach the sutra to the fourfold assembly. So where do we need to sit? He explains the chamber where we do it. The abode of the Tathagata is nothing but the great compassion toward all sentient beings. Is that not attitude and intent? The Tathagata's garments are the thoughts of gentleness and perseverance, and the Tathagata's seat is the very emptiness of existence of all things. The absolute knowing that everything is right now. With that kind of an attitude, intent toward the next moment, approaching other sentient minds relieves you and them of the past, of the baggage they're dragging along. It's not important. It's gone. It's empty. Even the experience of it is something you're renewing right now, and it's not the experience you had whenever it happened. Memory is a trick. A trick in samsara that has us clinging and craving, possessing. It's what makes us suffer. So if you're going to teach Myoho Renge Kyo, you have to live it. Always chant first. Awaken every little bit of it you can. It will guide you. Oh, Medicine King, I will dispatch transformed beings to other worlds who will gather the people together to hear the teaching. I will also dispatch transformed monks, nuns, laymen, and laywomen to hear this teaching. All this, these transformed beings will hear the Dharma, believe and accept it, and not reject it. He's really saying the same thing again. If you live your life and express your life with others for the benefit of others, with this, wearing these garments, with this attitude, with this intent, oh, they will get it. Because they won't have any kind of an ego or self to latch onto. They'll be just experiencing and hearing about the Dharma. Something innate in them that you're simply helping them awaken. If an expounder of the Dharma resides in a secluded place, I will then dispatch many devas, nagas, yakshas, gandharas, asuras to hear this teaching. Although I will be in a different land, I will periodically let the expounders of the Dharma see me. If they forget a line of this sutra, I will explain it again, enabling them to master it. He must really be helping me out because I don't know how many times I've read and reread, and I keep finding new translations and reading them again. So he must be really looking out for me, huh? Yes, I know he's not a he, but... Thereupon, the Bhagavat, wanting to elaborate on the meaning of this further, spoke in these verses. Let's go ahead and finish this. I think that'll be the end of this chapter. Yep. If you wish to rid yourself of idleness, you should listen to this sutra. This sutra is rarely heard, and it is also difficult to accept. Suppose there were a thirsty man seeking for water by drilling into the earth on a high plain. He sees only dry earth and knows that the water is still far away. He gradually sees the moist earth turn into mud and knows with certainty now that water is near. O Medicine King, O Bodhisattva Mahasattva, you should know that those people who do not hear the Lotus Sutra are very far away from the Buddha's wisdom. If they hear this profound sutra, which brings resolution to the Shravakas, and if they hear this king of sutras and attentively contemplate it, in other words, practice, know that these people are close to the Buddha's wisdom. If people want to expound this sutra, they should enter the Tathagata's chamber, put on the Tathagata's garments, and sit on the Tathagata's seat. Get your attitude right. With dignity and conviction, share this teaching. Right? Then they should face the people without fear, so that they may extensively illuminate and explain it to the assembly. The Tathagata's chamber is great compassion. His garments are gentleness and perseverance. And his seat is the emptiness of all existent things. After settling among them, they should expound the Dharma. Even if, when they expound this sutra, people disagree with them with evil words, disparage them with evil words, or attack them with swords, sticks, tiles, or stones, being mindful of the Buddha, they should persevere. I will manifest my pure and solid form in thousands of myriads of kotas of lands and teach the Dharma to sentient beings for immeasurable kotas of kalpas. If after my parinirvana there is someone who is able to teach this sutra, I will dispatch a transformed fourfold assembly of monks, nuns, laymen, and laywomen to pay homage to this expounder of the Dharma. I will lead the sentient beings and gather them together to let them hear the teaching. If anyone wishes to do ill to them with swords, sticks, tiles, or stones, then I will dispatch those transformed ones in order to guard them. If there is any expounder of the Dharma who recites this sutra in a secluded, tranquil place, where there is no sound of human beings, I will then manifest my body of pure light. If they forget a chapter or a verse, I will teach it to them, enabling them to master it. Think Gongyo, right? If anyone perfects these qualities, if he teaches the fourfold assembly, or in a solitary place recites this sutra, such a person will be able to see me, experience Buddhahood. If anyone abides in a secluded place, I will dispatch devas, naga kings, yakshas, and rakshasas to be an audience to their teaching. Such people teach the Dharma willingly and explain it without obstruction. Because all the Buddhas protect them, they gladden the great community of people, the Sangha. Anyone who closely attends an expounder of the Dharma will immediately attain the Bodhisattva path. Anyone who follows this expounder's instructions will be able to meet Buddhas, equal in number to the sands of the Ganges River. Namo Myoho Renge Kyo. And those are the benefits of expounding the Dharma. It's pretty amazing. Thank you, as always, for participating, for listening, for liking and subscribing, helping to grow the Sangha. To those of you who are able to purchase study materials. Remember, there's a lot of free study material too. All the podcasts are free. All these videos are free, right? And there's a lot of documents. I just posted one recently on another way to define Daimoku to help you understand and to help you teach, right? That's why I call this a resource. The bookstore, the website, the mandala store, so on and so forth. It's all to help bolster our practice, keep us from having obstacles for our practice and our bodhisattva mission. So I have nothing but gratitude for you guys. And we will start the next chapter, which is The Appearance of a Jeweled Stupa. The Treasure Tower. I can't wait to read this translation and see how that goes. Take care of yourselves, be kind, and I'll see you in that next video. Bye for now.